Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call this meeting of the Sunrise Manor Town Advisory Board to order. It is November 29th, 2018. It's 6:30 p.m. and I invite you all to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May be seated. Quick reminders, if you have a cell phone, turn it off, turn it down, put it on vibrate. Try not to let it make any noise to interrupt the meeting. And two, if you have any sidebar conversations, take them outside in the hallway here or in the vestibule there. I appreciate your cooperation on that. Introductions tonight, to my, your right, Max Carter, Vice Chair. Jill Leva, Secretary. I'm Danielle Walliser, Chair. Earl Barbeau, Board Member, and Paul Thomas, Board Member. We have with us tonight Marilyn Kirkpatrick, County Commissioner. Yay!
Okay.
And this is our Title 30 guy.
Alan Laird.
Alan?
Al.
Al, okay. He's here to answer any and all questions we would have regarding the technical issues of Title 30. So with that, I do not believe I've missed any dignitaries or otherwise affiliated officials. So we're going to move into the public comment section. I will read this because I've been asked to read it each time, so there's no mistake. Public comment, this is Roman numeral 2 on tonight's agenda. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please stand up, give us your name and address for the record, spell your last name, tell us what's on your mind about tonight's agenda. Usually this is dealing with the order of the items are taken or some other issues, but go ahead. Public comments open. Seeing none, I'll close public comment and move on to Roman numeral 3, approval of the November 15th, 2018 minutes for possible action. I'll make a motion for approval as written. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Seeing none opposed, motion carries. Roman numeral 4, approval of the agenda for the 29th, 2018. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve as published.
You have a motion for approval of tonight's agenda as published. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Seeing none opposed, the motion carries. Moving right along, we are now on informational items, Roman numeral 5, and this is where we generally ask the liaisons to tell us what good news they have for us, and I'm going to ask Commissioner Kirkpatrick if she has any good news for us.
So I do have some good news. So you know that Hollywood Boulevard has gone out to bid, and you'll see the construction start soon. It'll go all the way down to Desert Inn. So that's the four lanes that you'll see from Lake Mead South. So that is coming. And also north of Lake Mead, Hollywood Boulevard is in design so that we can match what currently is there. So Mount Hood has been repaved along with Darnona Road to get the trucks on the actual truck route. Secondly, we just approved a $300 million amount of money which will include some design conversation and monies for design for an eastern access for everyone to get to Henderson, which has been a really big deal, and to get around towards the Beltway. So you'll see after the first of the year the discussions and hopefully plenty of open meetings to see if we can come to some way to afford an access road to Henderson, which is something that I know we've been hearing for a long time. So that money has been approved and will go to bonding in February. So that's my good news. Roads are important over here, so we've heard you loud and clear.
You got any bad news?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good. Any of the board members have anything to announce or items? Okay, we're going to close that item and move on to tonight's planning and zoning items. Item number one will be heard by the Planning Commission on December 4th, 2018. It is UC-18-0857, Parish Enterprises, use permits for the following: one, a proposed recreational facility, and two, allow proposed indoor sports activities in the APZT overlay in conjunction with warehouse building on 0.5 acres in an M1 light manufacturing AE70 APZ2 zone, generally located on the east side of Abel's Lane, 407 feet south of Cartier Avenue within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present for this?
Yes.
Could you stand up or come forward and give us your name and address for the record? And are you the applicant?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Curtis Stuckey, 4217 Bridesmaid Falls, North Las Vegas, Nevada, 89085.
Okay, and so we have backup, but if you tell us in your own words what it is you're trying to do.
Okay, I used to have a facility across the street from this location where I train kids in basketball. I have clinics. I have AAU traveling basketball teams. I mentor kids. I have more social skills, all that type of things. And they sold the building. So I was just trying to secure a new location with a longer lease, but the zoning stuff was different.
Okay.
So that's primarily what I'm gonna use it for, continue my mentoring and my AAU basketball program and stuff like that. That's all.
Okay.
Just basketball.
All right, I'm gonna open this up for public comment. Any public comment on this item? Either pro, con, or in the middle. Seeing none, I will close public comment, open this up to comments and questions for the board. Anybody? Paul, go ahead. We have a motion on the floor to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I have to abstain because I represent the landlord on this property.
Okay. Let the record reflect we have three ayes and one abstention. So your item has been approved, and be sure we are recommending body only.
Okay.
And so you have to follow up with your Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and attend that. That's going to be on December 4th, 2018. That's down at the County Government Center.
Okay.
So be sure you make that meeting, and we appreciate you coming out.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
We have one condition we'd like you to put on there.
Okay.
Item number two to be heard also by the Planning and Zoning Commission on December 18th, 2018. It's item number TA-18-0845-Huntington Gem Lab, text amendment to amend chapter 30.44, table 30.44-1, to allow secondhand sales within the CP Office and Professional Zoning District for possible action. Is the applicant present on this?
That's kind of me for tonight.
You're it?
Yeah.
So this is a request for a text amendment. It was made by somebody who wants to have secondhand sales included as an allowed use within a CP zoning district, and we send these to all the town boards within the county.
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Okay. This is a request for a text amendment to allow secondhand sales within a CP zoning district. It was filed by a private citizen, and we send text amendments to all the town boards. Staff has reviewed the request. We have found that there are other uses that are of like similar intensity that are allowed in the CP zone. So we are recommending that the code should be adjusted to allow for this type of use. We're here to seek your input. We're recommending approval. We'd like to know your thoughts on it. Basically, do you agree? We want to recommend approval. Do you want to give us guidance on possible conditions? Or do you think it's not allowed, should not be allowed, should it be denied?
Okay. So this item is a regularly scheduled item, appropriately posted. So I assume we also can take public comment on this?
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and open public comment on this item to see if there are any public comments. I consider the public comments open. Jay.
Yes, my name is Jay Craddock, 1760 Lynn Lane. Can you find out for us if this could possibly turn into like a pawn shop type thing? Sounds strangely like a pawn shop. We have enough of those pawn shops in that zoning.
Yeah, I read something like that in the backup, but we'll get the applicant. Mm-hmm. We'll get him to address that issue. Any other public comment? Walter, stand up.
Oversight, 565 Boston Police. You probably have a better picture of this zoning in Sunrise Manor.
Member, address the board, please.
I am.
Thank you.
I'm just asking that question. I looked on here and I just cannot find the color coding except for a little bit about PNC. So I was wondering why this was coming up in front of this board.
Now, okay.
I was also wondering why you didn't put any kind of text on how you want to change. You know, the verbiage that would be in there. You explained that you wanted to get county approval. What I'm thinking is once you approve this, we can get secondhand stores all over in CMP, unless the verbiage is correct in your change. Has there been any,
okay.
any drafts of that?
Any other comments, Walter?
On this one, no.
Okay, thank you. So unless there's another public comment, I'm going to close public comment on this. And now we can get into this for discussion or comments by the board. Who wants to go first?
Madam Chair, would you like me to address those comments?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Paul. I'm sorry, Max.
I guess that my concern is, and what stops, is this going to enable thrift stores to be put into areas, you know, the rise in thrift stores? Is this language going to expand the ability for thrift stores to be put into new locations?
Well, there's kind of two parts to this process to really look at. This is a request to go forward to amend the code, but to amend it would actually be an ordinance by public hearing, which would get more into those finite details of what restrictions should or should not be placed onto it.
That, you have anything else, Matt?
And, you know, I'm just wondering why this seems a pretty narrow thing, why we're looking at changing code for something that may be better dealt with on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
So.
And I want you, anybody else?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Earl.
This is a secondhand, it's like a giant can of worms. I'm a real estate broker and I have clients, commercial, and I have clients that, for instance, a lady had a tremendous business selling secondhand clothes, baby clothes. And she had playpens and high chairs and wagons and clothing for ones, twos, threes, four. And she had a wonderful clientele that would follow her all through the raising of their children. And they were there for to keep coming back to the secondhand store. And that could go anywhere then. It could go commercial professional, which would be more likely where you would see as a buffer between a residential and a retail, because they have less traffic and less intensity. Like an insurance agent, for instance. But if it can go in a CP, then you can put a thrift store where you normally would have an insurance agent or a bookkeeper or a you know, a low intensity use. And I think that's a can of worms you're opening up by doing this, is what you're doing.
Anything else? Okay, Paul?
In my opinion, I think we just keep pushing the limits on things. I think we have to be careful with it. I agree with everybody here. We have to really talk to everyone, especially when it's close to residential.
Okay, anything else? I have a couple other comments too. My first question was, because I'm familiar, having worked through some of that stuff, you're initiating this as an across-the-board change in Title 30 under this. I understand it's got to go through the hearing process and, you know, and that kind of thing. Aren't there prescribed times when you do this, like every couple years? And are we setting a precedent by allowing people to come in and cherry pick individual issues that they're trying to get through? And so that is a question, like, along with the other questions that Walter raised, if you would.
Well, one of the first questions is the one addressing the pawn shop. Pawn shop is a separate use under code from secondhand sales. So we would not be allowing pawn shops in the area. That would be a separate type of land use application, so this wouldn't address that. Since it's a request that's for a text amendment, it's across the board. We sent it to all the town boards. We sent it to Lone Mountain for their input, and they've got like one little area of CP in the entire Lone Mountain area. So we're just trying to get the input everywhere, and because it is an across the board change. With a text amendment, it's really not establishing a precedent. Any individual can come in and request a text amendment. It does take a commissioner to authorize it to be filed, which a commissioner did do that, and now it's going forward. So any individual can, with commission consent, apply for it at any time.
Okay, go ahead, keep going.
I'm just trying to remember the other questions, to be honest with you.
He was asking about the color scheme on the zoning districts.
Well, it's just that you pointed it out. It's just a small little
space. Right. And my question, he just answered that. If the commissioner authorizes it, far be it from us to stand in their way.
And the initial question was, why here? And now I understand it's everywhere.
Right.
I'm in favor of that.
And it does not have to be approved. The commissioner, I'll be honest, I don't know which commissioner it was, or if they were just allowing it as an opportunity to go forward, or, you know, do they full-heartedly support it? That I really don't know. As a little bit of background, from what I understand, the person who made this request is an appraiser who appraises jewelry and occasionally gets items and wants to, because they're getting that previously owned at secondhand sales, so that's why they're asking to do this in conjunction with their business. So, as part of your recommendation, you can make a recommendation that it could be perhaps allowed as a special use within the zoning district, or as a conditional use. Those are things that could be brought forward to the board.
Okay, I have the same issue that Max has. I think this is like, especially where we get into this patchwork quilt we have over here of case by case. You know, we'd like to have, you know, the opportunity to look at stuff in the context in which it's in. Other than that, though, it sounds like you got your marching orders. So if a commissioner has authorized you guys to look at it, you're just looking for our opinion. What do we vote on? We say...
Well, there are town boards.
So I don't think that's it, Danielle. I think that, right, that when you do a text amendment, it's an opportunity. I mean, the other commissioners have not heard it. I'm probably the first one to see it tonight outside the other commissioner that asked for it, but this is an opportunity. We do have a bunch of Title 30 changes that we're making that's on our agenda this week, but this is an opportunity for you all to tell us if it makes sense or doesn't make sense. I kind of agree with the special use myself, because we don't know that we want them all, right? Or And but I think that it's also very narrow. It doesn't allow just anybody to come in and have a secondhand store. So, but it matters what you guys say. So you should assume.
Well,
I mean, one commissioner, and the commission's getting ready to change. Think about it. Three more people are coming in just a few weeks, and we don't even know if it was one of the existing people that asked for it. I don't know who asked for it. If you guys don't like it at all, then you should say so that we can take that back.
You know, and
I'll be honest, we've already gotten some input from other town boards that they feel it's inappropriate, so.
Max?
I was going to say, I move that we recommend that they shelf this, deny it, turn it down. I just Googled the guy. It's one guy on West Sahara that's got a gem lab that does appraisals. This is... It's so narrow, it's ludicrous. So I move that we recommend denial.
We have a motion on the floor from Max to recommend denial. All those in favor of denial signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, seeing none opposed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's just trying to do his job, man. We're not
killing the messenger here. We're just saying it's not even, you know, it's like, thanks for asking, you know.
Thanks for asking more.
Okay, moving right along to I guess item 3 and 4 are actually related. I guess we can take them one at a time since they're going to be held on, they're heard on different. So item 3 is going to be heard by the Planning Commission on December 18th, 2018. It's UC-18-0859 AMA Production LLC. To me, AMA is American Motorcycle Association. So I don't think this has anything to do with motorcycles. But it's use permits for the following. Number one, permit hazardous material storage, liquid materials. And two, permit light manufacturing, miscellaneous manufacturing. Industrial hemp processing facility in the APZ1 overlay district within an existing warehouse on a portion of 1.1 acres in an M1 light manufacturing, AE75 and APZ1 zone, generally located on the south side of Geist Avenue and 350 feet west of Nellis Boulevard within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present? Yes, sir.
I'm Ivan Devney. I'm the correspondent representing.
Can you repeat your name? I'm sorry.
Ivan, I-V-A-N Devney. And I'm representing the applicant. Okay.
And your relation to the applicant?
I'm employed by them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, I'm the guy. Anyway, as it says, back in July, I believe our firm received a hemp handler conditional certificate. That was back in July 13th. And we've had it since then, and now we bought this building at 5035 Geist, and on the south half, a little more than half, 7,150 square feet of that building. The building itself is 12,150, but we're gonna use 7,150 feet of that for a hemp extraction for CBD medical purposes and isolates and other distillates that we can extract from that product. That product extraction system takes into account that we're going to use methanol, ethanol, heptane, and hextane. And in amounts that meet all the requirements set up by the NAC, NRS, all those people have looked at it, and we meet all of those. So, but we need a permit to store inside the building. So that's part one. And then part two, we are in an M1 zone, light manufacturing, but there was an issue about having a miscellaneous, a Slocum code number 3900 for light manufacturing, and that's part two of this same application.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and open this for public comment. Public comments now open. Mr. Sykes.
He has an address. I guess we know that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew hemp. And you could also pay your property taxes with hemp back in the 1700s. And then it got a bad name because it was very much related to marijuana. I take hemp oil, CBD, not THC. I understand you're going to extract with hexane.
Correct.
And then you're going to have to wash it somehow.
We're going to, right, then to wash it and we're going to
I don't know, she's going to.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you talk to the board, please.
Okay,
we'll,
I'm sorry. Okay.
What I'm concerned about is the vapors that are generated there right underneath the flight path of the airport.
Okay. We have similar concerns. Anything else, Walter?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have two papers here if you're interested in how it's
going to work. Okay. Well, unless you want to make them a part of the record, in which case, okay. I saw you, Jay.
Yes, the crowd is 72. We didn't hear anything about staff recommendations or what the fire departments looked at.
On the backup, staff's recommending approval for this.
And if I may?
Hold on.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Any other public comment? Yes, sir.
Facundo Yella, I'm at on Cecile Avenue. I am also concerned with the fumes and the chemicals being used. We already have multiple marijuana dispensaries or whatever they may manufacture places all around our neighborhood. It creates a tremendous amount of traffic with people smoking illegally in their cars before they go somewhere else. And it just, the theft in the area has increased dramatically just to buy it at a cheap rate or whatever that these places are selling it at. And the chemicals is a big issue too, because they have to ventilate that stuff out in the air. And there's a lot of shops and people, you know, the community works in that area, construction and all that stuff, and those chemicals are quite a concern to
valid concern
to our area.
Anything else?
Nothing else.
Thank you.
Your name again?
Facundo Ayala.
You want to spell that?
Facundo.
Got it? Okay. Any other public comment? Going once, going twice. I'm going to close public comment. And open up for comment discussion by the board.
I would like to hear what the applicant is planning to do about the fumes and ventilation.
First of all, to let you know, yes, we have a recommendation from the county, of course, and I met with everybody there. I've also spent 4 different meetings, each one over 2 hours, with fire protection and with Jennifer Ammerman in attendance from Clark County, to discuss all of this. This is a brand new process, but it's a closed loop process. The methanol or ethanol that we use, that's to mix the hemp, goes into a press, closed loop again. So there's nothing just floating around there. We're not exposing to flammable conditions or explosive conditions. So, and fire department, we'll be using a Class 3 hazard protection, not ordinary hazard. And so we'll be using all kinds of, I mean, whatever recommendations are coming from the fire department, and they've looked at this process. Robert Williams is a chemist. He's only the second one, I guess, from the fire department. He knows the system, he's looked at it, and he has no problem with it as long as we have the NFPA protection that's due. As far as any fumes, I'm not a chemist. I don't know if there will be any. I mean, if you're in a, and I know a little bit about the cultivation because we are the owners and builders of the cultivation plant building that's being built right next door. But CO2, for instance, if there's a chemical, if, you know, something goes wrong, everything gets evacuated. I mean, there are steps that take care of those conditions. Again, I can't answer every single one, because I'm not a chemist, I'm the builder.
So at one time we had assurances that ammonium perchlorate was stable too.
But I can tell you that on the list of NAC, NAC, and the NRS, all the chemicals that are listed, if you go back through that, I've got a letter even from, or a email from Jennifer Ammerman, we have both looked at all of it. none of those four are on the list that call it a hazardous chemical. None of them. So
then on the other concern that we had addressed here, is there any retail sales allowed in this facility?
Not from that area, no.
What about in your other facility next door?
No, none.
Okay, now, and that brings up the other point about security, that I see that one of the staff recommendations is you coordinate with Metro Police Department in installing a surveillance system to help combat the crime in that area and stuff. Are you guys planning on complying with that?
Absolutely. We will have, in a building, like I said, the cultivation that we have right now, the state requires, I mean, explicit, a lot of cameras outside the building, inside the building. What I have been told about the hemp area and that, we'll have that security inside and outside, and we may even have armed guards inside the building. It's a precious commodity for those of us that are working with it. So security, and you know, we've got our gates, everything's locked up. So I don't think that we'll have any kind of a detriment to the locals. And we have got no negative feedback from the Air Force Base. They were contacted, and as far as Mr. Donahue told me, there was no negative feedback from them.
Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay. Next.
I'm good. Next,
you're good?
I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I'll ask Earl. A couple of questions. Years ago, like maybe 50 years ago, they put in regulations about flammable material, primarily in the area of the crash zone. You're right in ABZ1.
Correct.
That you're right at the best area.
Yeah, we are in it.
And you're right in the line with the runway there. And how many gallons? You said these are tanks. How many gallons of flammable material are you going to have? And how big are these above ground storage tanks for gas that you're going to have?
Well, again, the process has varying degrees. According to Robert Williams, who is the chemist, he tells me if we put in an H3 hazard system, alarm or fire suppression system, okay, we should be fine with the concealed the closed loop system and the tanks. So we don't have anything, you know, just pouring out into buckets or anything like that. And all precautions will be had. I mean, we'll be dealing with the fire marshal, with quality air systems, all of that. I mean, they will all be looking at it, and I'm sure scrutinizing the living daylights out of us. So we'll meet any and all requirements.
Are the tanks, are they the flammable gases, liquids in the tanks? What are they? How much are they?
Again, methane and methanol and ethanol. Again, I'm not a chemist. I think they're less flammable than you would get at a gas station. And whether those tanks will be in fiberglass, I haven't seen those yet. And again, it's just the next step for production.
How big they are?
I've been told probably 3,000, 4,000 gallon.
Each?
Yes.
That's sizable.
Yeah, about 8,000 gallons, I think, in total.
I'm surprised they didn't say something about that.
Well, you know, a typical fuel tank at a gas station, usually they're dealing with 10,000 gallon
right,
tanks, and they sink them down, and they're usually three of them. So figure half of one of those tanks. Those are fairly large tanks. Question I have is, I'm embarrassed I've been out of the active situation for long enough. Not familiar with the H3 fire suppression system, but when we did the helicopter hangar out at North Las Vegas, we had to put in a foam system out there that literally filled the hangar up with foam. That stuff all sounds really flammable to me.
That's not the system. That we don't have any foam at all. It's like a deluge system. You can help me with the numbers on the emergency relief heads that have a kind of a deluge of water.
ESFR.
ESFR.
So they're early.
I mean, they're just
early. It's early detection, so it's a system.
I'm letting him speak because he's an architect.
Well, and I've been
doing he's current, correct. And I've been retired for 3.5 years. Okay.
George Rogers, 6325 South Jones.
Thank you, George.
So an ESFR sprinkler system is a very delicate sensitivity that senses a fire faster than a regular smoke detector.
Okay.
So it tells the sprinkler to turn on faster than any other sprinkler system. And it deluges with more water than a typical sprinkler system, equalizing the pressure and flow among all the sprinkler heads, so that a normal sprinkler system that might turn on one head or two heads before putting out a fire, this could actually turn on quite a few heads fast.
Great.
And extinguish something going on. That was the question you were asking, right?
Yeah, it was actually. I understand. It sounds to me like as long as you're meeting the fire department concerns, you're not ventilating any kind of toxic fumes to the outside air, it's a closed loop system, you're not having traffic come to the area.
No, not at all. No retail sales.
Are you having any kind of light manufacturing in the facility? Like, are you making hemp clothes?
No, nothing. it's strictly extraction, and we may have 7 bodies in the entire building.
Don't say that.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. Okay, have you satisfied my Paul? Okay, we have a motion on the floor to approve. With staff recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you.
Seeing none opposed, motion carries. Now we got the other item, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Light manufacturing.
George is up time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to steal his thunder here, but let me read this item into the record.
I'll sit and listen.
12/19/18. By the Board of County Commissioners. Item number 4 and the final item tonight on the agenda for planning and zoning. UC-18-0762-AMA Production LLC. Use permit for a proposed marijuana establishment production on 1.1 acres in an M1 light manufacturing, AE75 and APZ1 zone. Generally located on the south side of Geist Avenue, 310 feet west of Nellis Boulevard and Sunrise Manor. And I know the applicant's present, and I know this guy's an architect, so go ahead.
So, George Rogers, 6325 South Jones. This is the same building that you just dealt with. And in fact, the application you just approved was for 7,150 feet in the south portion of this building.
Okay.
The top 5,000 feet of this building is
you want to put that down here?
I can't.
Yeah, because I can zoom out to tell me where you want it.
So the top 5,000 square feet of this building in this application is proposed for marijuana production. And as such, it requires a special use permit.
There you go.
It requires a special use permit. Just so you know, there is some chemicals that is used in the production process, but they don't rise to the level of the hemp production that was just heard. So there's no hazardous occupancies that are going to be in this 5,000 square feet. It's really a run-of-the-mill, if there's such a thing, cannabis production facility where they extract oil from the plant. That's all it is. And it is associated with the hemp operation because of the owner, and it's mostly associated with the adjacent cultivation facility next door. That's providing all the feedstock.
Is this like where they go make wine and stomp grapes?
You might say, yeah. That's about it.
Okay. Is that your spiel?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to open public comment on this item. Yes?
Again, with Facundo, Ford 3816 Cecile. I'm concerned, right across the street from our shop, we have a marijuana dispensary. And it's literally 3 to 4 times a day where the exhaust is just running at who knows. But it is just everywhere. It smells like marijuana from the beginning of my day to the end of my day. Is that the case with another marijuana facility?
I'm curious, what business do you have?
I have an ironwork business.
Ironwork, okay. And you're close to a marijuana production facility or grow
house?
Yeah,
so I'm off Cecile across the street from the park.
Okay. Have you, this has become an issue for you as far as the odor?
Yeah, it's just all day, I mean, the extractors are pulling the air out of these buildings, and it just is literally the smell of marijuana consistently all day.
You can contact the county and tell them that you have an odor issue and see if they can help you.
They're, with your permission, there's an ordinance that requires them to control the odor. And whoever they are, they're supposed to be doing that.
So if I could interject,
go ahead,
just put in an air quality complaint. So we'll be out there to do that tomorrow. And I also spoke to the captain and we'll address the crime issues. So
specifically,
and I gave him my card.
Thank you.
You can't go higher up the tree than here. She tells you
it's
she's
a blessing
gonna,
that I just met.
Right, exactly.
I will be filling her email up really quickly.
Well, he's good. If I can say one more thing.
I'll make the exception. Go ahead, Jordan.
Thank you, Chair. As a matter of the cultivation facility, we were required to submit an odor control report of how we were controlling the odor. To ensure that we were doing it, as well as a security plan that showed how we were controlling the security outside and inside the facility. So all of those other things are in place.
The dispensary that's across the street from us, I mean, there is a large traffic vehicle where people are buying the marijuana. They smoke it in their car.
This dispensary.
They're smoking it in their car, and then they're driving away. And I mean, there is like, they have little mini parties in people's car. Like, three cars will meet up in all of them,
wow.
Get hot box in one car.
We understand.
And then they all leave. I mean, it's just...
She'll help you.
Yeah. And if I may. The reason you're getting the funny looks is because that's not supposed to be happening.
Right,
that's a
exactly.
Metropolitan Police Department issue.
Right.
Because these facilities that we've been approving are cultivation, they're grow, they're not supposed to be selling anything to the public. And there's no dispensaries in that area. There's a few in some, there's one or two over back on Lamb, if I remember right,
right
down towards Lamb and Craig.
That was actually closed.
Did it?
Did it really?
You know, but they're not, so that's criminal activity.
No, yeah.
And
that's
a loss of license, so I'll be.
Okay.
And you know, and that's part of.
Send me that email.
Yeah.
And not just the growth facilities that are being put in. All of the new businesses, when they come in and want to put in any kind of manufacturing, that same requirement for surveillance system that's tied into the Metropolitan Police Department is being put in because they're actively trying to control the type of activity that you're talking about. So
right.
Well, believe me, it'll be taken seriously.
This is a much smaller building than this one, and they practically will go in the building, grab whatever they need or what they're getting,
yeah.
Drive out to the street, and then be in the street. So they're completely away from the business itself. And
but that's a loss of license, quite honestly.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
And I don't want to interject.
No, go ahead.
But I'll work individually with you because that really is a loss of license for Clark County under Clark County's code and the state's code. So the captain and I tend to visit all of the cultivation because we have five within the Cheyenne Nellis area. So I understand that the smell issue because we have since at Clark County put in a charcoal requirement, charcoal, because it was really bad. I could smell it on Cheyenne and Nellis from Craig Road.
Yeah, I know. It's
so what I'm telling you is I'll personally, because regardless of this application, we need to address that one because that is a true ability to lose their license, and we tend to work pretty close, so I'm not sure which one it is, but we'll be there tomorrow.
I just feel like it's, you know, one here, one there, one here. I feel like it's just starting to become a pollution more than, you know, it's just polluting the air, and we're all surrounded by it. You know what I mean? It's just, when is it ever going to stop?
We hear you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comment? Seeing none, any other comments by the board? Okay. Again, let me remind everyone, we're a recommending body. We don't give final action on this issue. And so whatever we decide here tonight, you still need to go forward to the Board of County Commissioners on December 19th for this item. And we thank you for your presentation. Paul? We have a motion on the floor for approval. All those in favor signify by...
Recommendation.
With staff, thank you, Matt. With staff's recommendation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let the record reflect we have 3 ayes and 1 abstention. The motion carries. And that concludes our planning and zoning issues for this evening. Thank you, George, again. Thank you for your presentation. And be sure to follow up at your Board of County Commissioners meeting. Brings us to item Roman numeral 6, which is general business. And once again, I'm gonna go to the commissioner and see if there's any general business she wants to cover tonight, other than what we've already discussed.
Well, I just wanted to put one thing on your radar. You know, in District P in particular, we've been required any business application to come through to put surveillance cameras up. What I'll tell you today is we have 192 that are participating, and our crime rate has dropped 9% in District B. So I appreciate you guys always looking out for me. That's why you always see that recommendation. We don't care if it's a 7-Eleven, a sports park, or whatever. We require the security, and it really has helped us with our crime rate way down. So right. I can't speak for the other commissioners, but we're thankful that you guys oblige us on that recommendation. So we do it every time, and now it's just people don't argue anymore. They tried it first, but it didn't work.
We're here to serve.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. So thank you.
Okay. So any other have general business issues here?
Well, I just got one comment though. I said I've noticed the police presence has been a lot greater lately than it has been. And, there's a noticeable difference.
It's getting better.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to
Earl.
Encourage Commissioner Weeks, I guess, to, or if he's going to just pass it on to the, is he still in power?
We still got an empty spot on the board.
Yeah, we've been down a position on the board for a year.
I did see an application that was attached to my packet, so maybe they live in his district. I'm not sure. So.
Okay.
But I'll pass that back to him.
Thank you. Anything else? Now I'll close that issue, and I will get on to Roman numeral 7 and open this up for comments by the general public. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium or stand up. Give us your name and address for the record. Clearly state your name, spell it if necessary, and tell us what's on your mind. This is your chance to talk to the board. Any public comment? Mr. Craddock.
Jay Craddock, 1760 Lynn Lane. My constant comments are that we need to do something about the slow wash and the leakage coming up out of the affluent pipes from the North Las Vegas sewer treatment plant. We also have multiple potholes that are now popping up in our, I don't know what to call it exactly, our road system here in San Jose. And mainly in front of Eldor High School, there's 500 the size of bigger than basketballs. I'd also like to commend the coordinators for their swift action when we ask them questions and they get answers for us right away. And lastly, I'd like to commend Public Services for placing all of the large dumpsters. Not most of the large dumpsters on Mid Lane per request from the citizens. That's all. Thanks.
We like to hear the good too. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Facundo Ayala, 4860 Cecilia. I have a big concern with homelessness, not only in Sunset Maynard, but just in this entire city. In our area, when I say our area, there's that park that's back there on Cecile, across the street from our business. there is a consistency of people living in RVs and, I mean, literally sometimes making these little huts and living there for weeks on end. The police is doing as much as they can because I communicate with them quite a bit. But it seems like
you know, the Metro will come over and say, hey, you can't be here, and then they'll literally move to the park. And then 2-3 days go by and they're living at the park, and the Metro comes and kicks them from there, and then they'll move around another corner. So we're using Metro's resources for the wrong reasons, and it's just continuously happening. That's one concern in that area. And then something I may need help on is, in my entire block, I live off of Mojave and Nellis. My entire block has no curbs and has not one single street light on the entire street of Mojave. So that's just another concern. Maybe I don't know how to fix that issue.
There, we have a patchwork of that, and there's reasons for that, and I'm going to let the commissioner tell you why.
So there's, so I'll address all the comments.
That's
so,
fine.
The potholes, we've been pretty quick about repairing them, but you have we can't govern by Facebook, so you got to actually put in the complaint to Public Works. So Public Works has been on a 7-day turnaround when it comes to potholes, but they don't know unless you tell us. Like I said, we've been, we started at the far north end of the east side, and we started at the far south end, and we're working towards the middle to get all the neighborhood roads. So we allocated $30 million over the last year for east side roads. So I see it on Facebook all the time, but nobody ever wants to put the complaint in, so I'm not doing it for them anymore, because I did it and then was unappreciative, and so all of us commissioners agreed that the residents got to take the time to put it in. Two, homelessness. Here's what we're doing on the homeless. Homeless is a problem across the country. There's a couple of rulings that just happened, one with the Ninth Circuit Court that says you cannot ask the homeless to move off of any public facilities if you don't have any housing. So that hampers Clark County and Metro on what we can do for that. Also, there is a Supreme Court ruling that came down that says we are responsible for all their belongings. So before we tow away their motorhome, before we do all that, we have to take an accurate inventory and make a conscious effort to return the items to them. So we are a little bit hampered. So on Monday, we're opening 100, Clark County, and I'm speaking for Clark County, we're opening 172-bed facility that will house homeless with mental illness, substance abuse, because they're all part of the issue. We just met today. We're working with the state to open a 200-bed facility by March so that we can get them into all of those programs. So the bottom line is there is little housing out there. We are hampered by some of the laws that we have in place. On top of that, the sheriff has started a task force where he has 8 officers that roam the entire valley to talk about, to get these people to services. So our office, Commissioner G's office, Commissioner Weekly's office, we put them in our cars and we try to get them services, but without the housing, it's very hard to do. So the constable's office is on an 18-day turnaround as of towing these, so that's why you see them moving, because every time it moves, we got to start over, because those are laws that we didn't pass, but those are judges. As far as the sidewalks, non-sidewalks, some of that area that you're talking about is actually the city of Las Vegas, so it's not Clark County, so we are only responsible for unincorporated Clark County. However, we've been trying to work with the city so that we can do same things at the same time. But I will let Councilman Coffin, who's that area, know that that is something that is necessary. So hopefully I'm not too much information tonight, but we really are trying to hustle.
She knows. She knows.
I'm hustling. I'm done.
And if you just call the right people, you're going to get answers. Might not be the answers you want.
I know you by heart. 4860 Cecile, I got you.
Might not be the answers you want, but you're going to get an answer.
I mean, not only do I want to sit here and complain about what things are happening, but if there's anything that I can do to help.
Be the change.
You know, I have no problem doing that. I enjoy taking my daughter to the park, but most of the times the parks are filled with homeless people. And I'm not going to sit there and tell them to leave. They bath and they eat and they drink there.
Right.
That's fine. Some are less fortunate. But
the park is there too for everyone to enjoy as well. So, I mean, it's just
so, I'll just tell you, Nellis Meadows is the most underutilized park that we actually have, except for on the weekends when they have the bicycle events there. So we have not invested a lot into it. We are putting a mobile recreation center there. Hopefully we're trying to get it done for June to generate more people using that park, but it truly is underutilized, so then it makes it easy for homeless to go in there, but we'll continue to work that area. But the more people that can actually use that park, it would be help, right? Because they don't like to stay where there's a lot of people going.
Okay, any other public comments before I close public comment?
Can I make a public comment?
Well, you can make a board comment. Okay. I'm gonna close public comment and I'm gonna open up, give the floor to Earl.
Marilyn?
Yes.
In my lifetime, well, I'm old, so thinking back, you know, I've seen, there was a time when we didn't have a lot of homelessness. We had Skid Rows, I remember that back in Chicago, Pittsburgh, I'm sure. But that's kind of like where everybody knew it'd be, you know, go there and then you get the flop houses and things. We didn't have massive people. Has any, to your knowledge, any government agency tried to ask why it's getting worse by the decade, in the last two or three decades?
We ask every day, and honestly, I'll tell you, across the country, you know, say no disrespect to Zappos, but when Zappos came, they wiped out 5,000 units that people had lived in for years. Those people had nowhere to go. They're experiencing the same thing in Reno. When Tesla came and Apple came, they wiped out 10,000 units. So as we change, and you know, rent today is pretty unaffordable. You can't, and if you're making $12 an hour and you're paying $200 for daycare, you don't have a lot of options. So we have 218 families as of 5 o'clock today that are been assessed and living in their cars. We have 6,000 predominantly males that are veterans that have been that are living in unsheltered, that's what we're trying to call it, unsheltered. So until we as a community can quit saying, not in my backyard, I don't want this affordable housing unit here, I don't want this, you know, facility here, it makes it even harder for us to find the balance.
Has anybody set up a task force or something, or figure out how to direct, like, the 6,000 male, primarily veterans, with the jobs in the industry? Because I went to high school with a young lady back in the 1960s, and she had problems. I mean, God didn't bless her as well as he blessed other people. But guess what? When she got out of high school, she got a job in a laundry. But she hadn't had a job her whole life.
But here's the truth of it, and people don't want to hear this, right? I did a whole thing on responsible giving for the homeless. And that means, here's how you do it. I got over 2,000 complaints, 800 from the east side, saying what a rotten, horrible, you know, heartless person that I was, because they wanted to do that. But here's what I experienced today when I was down trying to help some homeless. I've seen a guy on Main Street taking a crap in the middle of the street, and another person handing him a sandwich with the same dirty hand that he just wiped with. And that is how you spread disease. That is how you spread hepatitis. That is how you do all of those things. And so for the community, it's an education component, and it's taking someone to take those 2,000. I mean, here, I'll tell you, 800 complaints from the east side for what I did and what a heartless person that I am. But I'll tell you, we get 200 complaints a week from the east side that they don't want them in their neighborhood. So what? How do you expect electeds to navigate the situation when I can't build small parcel acres to put 15, 20 homes in so that they have a place to live? Because many of those veterans today, they're not healthy because they've been on the streets for so long. I have to get them medication, I have to get them cleaned up. I can't even give them a job until I can address all those other issues. So. There's task force after task force after task force, and until the Thickle community figures out what they want, we'll continue to plug away, but we are going to allocate $10 million towards housing, working with the state, opening the 172 beds, and we're just going to have to keep picking it apart. But as new things come and you take away and you want the old buildings to go away and the old hotels, remember that people lived in those homes for a very long time and they liked it. So that's the truth. I get beat up all the time, so now I'm tired of trying to sugarcoat it. Just tell the truth.
Yeah, but, and unfortunately, you know, we live in a climate where, you know,
it makes it easy
for the people.
9 months out of the year, it's beautiful to live outside.
Pittsburgh was on 4 months out of the year.
I'd just like to thank you. We don't often get a commissioner up here, but we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come up and be with us tonight. And I think there was some good dialogue here. And we're trying to do right by the people and give our best opinions.
And I'm going to tell you something. For 7 years that I've lived here now, I've seen you personally.
Probably more than my husband's seen me.
Yeah.
But I've seen you make so many improvements in our area. It's just incredible.
But you guys do a great job, we appreciate
you guys. Yeah, I don't know how hard it is.
Much as I'd like to sit here and chat.
I know, I want to go home.
I'm going to move on to setting the next meeting date of December 13th, 2018. And I entertain a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor? Aye. Meeting's adjourned.